In for Greeny today, Black and Abdallah. Now we welcome Carmen and Sylvie to the studio. This is like ESPN 1000 Looper. the older us.
When did you think of that?
Just now.
Okay.
I just thought of it right now, and I said it. And that's it for me, guys. I'll talk to you later.
That's good. That's a hell of a way to go off. I'm not going to lie to you. Nicely done.
The Fun Young Show has now become the older guys. You guys are now telling the fun young guys to easy.
Well, I mean,
don't do anything stupid.
Well, we do song. They save the music. We do song of the night.
It's
ESPN 1000 Looper. It's the same thing.
And then now you guys are seeing people below you becoming the new you.
The new us. Yep.
And it's just, it's a circle.
Yeah. Here's the problem with
that,
though.
You guys had your horn. We have the Baseball Tonight horn.
It's a little different.
It is a little. Trivia question? A little
nervous laugh. Nervous
trivia question.
Laugh.
No. Different.
That will not be a trivia question.
Not me. No. It was a different time. Sylvie and I meant nothing offensive by it.
I'll say this, though, Sylvie. The group behind us are much better at this than we are. So
it always
shout out to them.
But isn't
they are way better.
We always talk about this with sports. I mean, then the next generation of athlete is always better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just evolution. It's just the... Everyone, like, we all love our era.
Our
we
brains all, are a little bit better than the brains of humans 200,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just the way it's evolution.
We all love our era, but you can't deny that the next generation that comes through, that the athletes are always better.
We
can fight the fight and yell at the cloud, but you just have to evolve and say... Tip your cap and say, these guys are better athletes.
I'm gonna
the same way in
radio. I'm going to be like Fat Shaq out there. Just like...
Fat Shaq.
Oh, these kids.
Phoenix,
oh, my God.
Phoenix Shaq?
Well, yeah, like I'll be Phoenix Shaq.
Remember?
And Boston Shaq. What was after? Was Boston Shaq before or after Phoenix Shaq?
Probably after. Let me check.
Here's Washington Jordan.
I think Boston Shaq's like the end.
Yes.
The very end.
Right, because Phoenix Shaq was traded.
Yeah.
They traded from Miami.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about Shaquille O'Neal is...
Yeah, Boston Shaq was the end.
Have you guys ever seen the graphic that's out there on social media every once in a while where it's like Shaq of the Rainbow? Where it's his jerseys lined up, and basically he's played for every color of the rainbow.
That's great. Amazing. That's great.
With all of the different, the reds with Miami, and then Phoenix with the orange, the green with the Celtics.
The blue with the Magic.
Right, like it's...
Yellow with the Lakers. Like, that's awesome.
It's like all of his jerseys lined up, and it's just a picture, and I always think of that with
Shaq. Told Waddle about this, and Merck was the first person to turn me on. You got to watch the Shaq documentary. I know there's so many good streaming things out there. It's an HBO Max, HBO production. But there's some good, and he's honest about stuff, whether it's the Kobe and him thing. But, like, some of the Miami stories and how him and Pat Riley almost got into a fist fight locker room. And that led to the trade eventually to Phoenix, and then just how he wasn't in shape.
If he just would have tried.
Wade was the better player in Miami, but there's no way they win a championship without Shaq.
No, right.
Shaq was helpful for them.
If he would have given half a crap.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Especially later in his career.
Well, he would have accomplished more than Duncan. That would have been for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been the guy who's like after the top four. Shaq would have been like the fifth best player ever before Larry and Magic. If he tried.
The whole time.
He's still probably top 10. And
that's what we're...
Absolutely.
That's what we're trying to figure out. He's probably 10, 11, or 12.
He's incredible. There's
a story he told, and this is... And I can be critical of Phil Jackson, but this is the Phil greatness. He tells a story about when he went to Montana, when he was going to the Lakers, and... Phil said to him, he sat him down, he goes, look, this can work, but you have got to buy into everything I say. And I'm going to be really, really hard on you. But if you buy in, trust me, trust me on this, you will be great and we will win. And he goes, I am promising you today that I am in on this. And it's kind of like what his dad did, his stepdad. Yeah, and sure enough, because he bought into Phil is when he played his best basketball.
It's easily I think he's one of the most top three or four talented players ever playing in the league.
Dominant. Yeah.
And like I know it was an easy joke when he was playing that he couldn't shoot free throws, but it didn't matter. He was so much more athletic at that position than every other stiff center that was there. Ewing with the knee pads on.
Oh, God.
You know, like David Robinson was athletic, but he was like, he was less, how do you say, flexible, or like he wasn't, it was like his motions were like he was a computer program almost, where like he only moved in like straight lines. Where like Shaq was just unbelievable, his ability to get from one corner of the post to the other, his being able to contort his
era
body.
Too, because when they just clogged the lane and didn't move.
Yeah, like the hook shot, like the touch, and
nobody had feet like him for a guy his size.
No,
with his amount of
strength.
We still
haven't seen that.
Like, no, nobody
has
feet like
him. He's smoother than Embiid. Yeah. He was more powerful than Jokic. He does all the stuff that the guys that we're watching who are bigs now are trying to do, and people are like raving about. But like that was Shaq.
Yeah, but the bigs now can shoot threes, and he couldn't.
Yeah, right. He wasn't allowed to.
That's
so
the evolution. That's the evolution. The only other, like, I'll say, in my opinion, the most skilled big man that I've seen.
I know what you're going to say.
Akeem
Olajuwon. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just
my God. He was everything. Great too. He had everything.
Offense, defense, the moves,
everything,
the skills.
He was always my favorite as a kid because of the ability to piece all the parts of the game together.
He was great.
Years, he was one of the top five guys as far as all-time steals in the NBA, and he's a center. Yeah. Like, that's crazy,
he's
too.
He's one of my favorites as a kid because a dude would go out there after not eating all day during Ramadan.
That was a big story. Wasn't that a big story in the 94 finals?
Wax people without eating. Like, the dude can't eat or drink all day during the game, and he's just destroying dudes on no food.
Like, awesome. Bob Costas is sitting on the set telling us about a white Bronco chase. Meanwhile, Akeem's waiting for the sun to go down so he can have some food.
Get a little sustenance.
Call a timeout real quick.
LeBron dropped 30 and 10. And 50.
Great reference.
I feel like that all happened at once. It all of that stuff
100%.
Was once.
100% all happening at one time. There's no doubt.
I saw him, he played against the Bulls on a Sunday afternoon game. I was at the game with my dad, and it was during Ramadan, and this dude is just destroying them. Well, I'm so hungry.
That's why I'm not sure. Like, when people say to me, well, the Bulls would have won eight straight, first of all, they would have been dead tired.
Dead tired.
Second of all, the one team that always, they didn't play often, it was only twice a year, but the one team that always sort of had the Bulls' number was Houston.
Because they didn't really have an answer for Akeem.
No. Right. Don't know. That's the one team they never faced in the finals.
Nope.
And if they did, I'm not sure how that would have turned out.
They also had young Bizarro Pippen and Robert Horry.
Yeah.
So like they had some of the pieces.
I didn't
love
that roster other than Hakeem, though.
Really. Well, their guards could guard. They could play defense and they could shoot.
Kenny Smith.
Kenny was good. Cassell was obviously talented and would have been a tough cover for
somebody.
There
was somebody, a minute that Mario Elie was there,
Mario
right?
Mario Elie was there.
A backup.
Yes, he absolutely was.
Guard.
Maybe on both of them, or certainly on one of them.
Because at one point he was traded to San Antonio at one point. I know
that. Yes, he was. And Clyde was on one of those teams.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
the
later.
Second one, I feel like, right? I think Clyde was there on the second one.
Yeah, it was the superstar team that added Barkley, but Barkley's against superstars teaming up, right?
I know, it is funny. I bust Barkley's balls about this
time, and rightfully so.
Well, I know about or demanding the trade to the Suns. It's the same thing. It's just the power via trade instead of free agency.
It's the same thing, and like he tries to spin it, so, and I love Charles, but like
there's nobody better than Chuck.
And it's like, no, you did the same. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forced his way out of Milwaukee 35, 40 years ago, dude.
Right, right. It was
and you
just
make it sound like nobody's ever, we never did this. Kareem literally is like, I'm not playing here
anymore. I'm not
playing
Milwaukee, no.
I will not play here any longer. Trade me.
And I'm changing my name.
That was 40 years ago, dude. Like, shut up. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. Didn't happen in our day. Yeah, of course it did.
So what else is going on, guys?
Abdallah's got the taste of the Masters.
Yes, we were.
It's not quite $400. It's still $175.
That's a lot.
How much is it?
$175. It says it feeds 12 to 14.
No, that doesn't feed. That would feed one Yurko.
So it's like a bag of plain chips.
Yeah, so you get an egg salad. You get like a thing. It looks like a quart. That looks like a quart, right? I think it's a quart.
Yeah.
It's 24 ounces of egg salad, 24 ounces of pimento cheese, 24 ounces of barbecue pork, six bags of plain potato chips, 6 bags of barbecue potato chips, 12 cookies, and then like Masters branded cups, Masters branded paper, Masters branded coasters.
That's nice.
And like all the hosting kits, like you get like, it looks like little flags, like little, the yellow the flags. For, like, or no, they're like for the sandwiches. It looks because they're toothpick.
Toothpick.
Yeah. Okay.
How much is this, it, like if you get this at the Jewel and it's not Master label?
Oh,
you know what I mean? This is half the cost. Yeah. Is it not?
$42.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is $175 because it's got the Master label on it. Yes.
I would do this if it had the ice cream. Like if it, I mean, it feeds 12. So do $175 divided by 12. I think they only say it feeds 12 because they give you 12 bags of chips. Everyone's getting half a scoop of whatever egg salad or pimento cheese.
I've got no
pork.
Interest. I'd rather save my $175 and like put it towards my trip to the Masters.
Yeah, that's
I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Did you guys see Scheffler? Boyle was telling me about this. We didn't talk about it on the air. Did you see his meal?
We talked about it. Yes.
First of all,
for the Masters dinner, the Champions dinner.
This I'm at the height of my golf love, which is
because of Full Swing.
Because of Full Swing, I love Scheffler even more now because of this menu.
It's like a normal menu for normal people.
I want this menu.
It's like
we
could go to Chicago Cut and have this. This is something that's feasible for all of us to eat, and it is. Yeah. This is a delicious meal
In honor of Mr. Scotty Scheffler.
Mr. Scotty.
Scheffler. Like his actual name, Scotty.
Welcome
is that
back.
Scott?
Yeah, it's Scotty.
Scotty, is that Scott Scheffler? Scotty Scheffler.
He's got the double chin like me too. That's what I like about him.
A little doughy.
You could tell he eats this often.
He has a plain face.
So you've got cheeseburger sliders and firecracker shrimp. That's your served. I don't know.
That's the appetizer.
Cheeseburger sliders are served Scotty style. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says.
You get a little Scotty sauce on the side.
Some Scotty sauce.
Your soup is a tortilla soup.
I love it.
I mean, fantastic. Who doesn't love a good tortilla soup with a little hint of spice in there?
You've got two options for your meal. You could have a Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish that's served with a family style mac and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn, fried Brussels sprouts and seasoned fries.
This is a killer menu.
Those are four great side dishes. Read those side dishes again.
Somebody's going nuts.
The mac and cheese, cream corn, the Brussels sprouts that Brussels sprouts
and fries
and French fries.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
I've never seen you get so excited over
Scott Scheffler. Yes.
For dessert, a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with milk and cookies ice cream.
Milk and cookies ice cream.
Yeah. Wow. So it's probably just
cookies
ice cream.
In
it's probably just
cookies
and cream. Yeah, it's probably cookies and cream ice cream. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a warm skillet?
Oh, that's great.
It's an everyman's Masters
dinner.
That's
one of the better Masters dinners I've heard. I feel like Tiger's last one was really good. One from 19.
I'm scaring all the golfers. I'm going out there. I'm getting hummus. I'm getting baba ganoush. I'm getting falafel.
I love all that, too.
I'm getting some kesh veg men, which is just a different eggplant dip. It's more
come on.
You could be saying things that are made up, and I wouldn't know.
Baba ganoush, I love.
And then full goat.
Full goat. No head, though.
No head.
Do you have it turning on the outside?
If you
over the open fire?
As you're walking in, as you're being dropped off,
a piece.
Yeah, you see the goat turning, and then they bring it in and de-head it right there.
Oof.
Or behead it, I guess. They just chop it right there. And then for dessert, probably some kanafa, some nice cookies, all that kind of stuff, some baklava, all that good stuff.
That sounds pretty awesome to me. I might not be for everybody, but I love that type of food. I'm in.
Can I ask you guys a question? What was the traffic like coming in? Because this morning on the train was empty. Usually the Blue Line is a complete blank show in the morning.
Yeah.
But empty.
Was everybody off?
It seems like there's no one in the Starbucks over here.
Tournament and St. Patty's. Everybody
was it empty on the streets too?
Driving, and I took it in. It was my last ride in on the Kennedy
before
the 3 year Kennedy project starts.
Three years. We call this Pale Horse Coming. That's today. Death and hell followed with him.
Happens first?
Here you go,
Arlington opens or this 3 year project?
It's a great question. Like, finally. It took them a decade
to
get
the interchange
in between the Kennedy and the Dan Ryan fix.
And that was
all
supposed to be
ramps.
1 year, right?
It took almost 10 years.
No, it was supposed to take a couple. couple, but it was years? Not supposed to take 10 years.
It took a decade. Yeah. So finally, like, I'm looking forward to one summer where we can drive into the city where there's no real, well, there's always going to be congestion, but no real bad construction, you know, where it just flows. And then now 3 weeks ago, I find out, hey, by the way, we're working on the Kennedy. For the next 3 years, where lanes are going to be shut
It'll
down.
It'll be at least five. You know it. Oof. At least 5 years.
It's also like, isn't the idea for the next 3 years that for the first year, the express lanes are only
shut
going
down,
one way?
And then
when they're finished, for the year after it, they're only going to go the opposite direction.
I heard that the express lanes are just done.
Well, right, because what they're using it for actual lanes of traffic, so you will have no more express lanes.
No express lanes.
So, like, for a full year, they're going to either be going straight into, or out.
Yeah.
They won't be flipping
like they
usually
do. Because they're shutting down lanes of the Kennedy. Yeah.
You won't, they're
it's going to be, and I don't know.
They're fixing every single bridge. That's what they're doing.
Like, I have been, like, Ryan Pohl setting up my draft chart. I have tried to go. I've gone to Metra. I have looked at the schedules. I have gone to Rosvaren. I have talked about going to
the experts,
like exiting Peterson and then
heading
to Lakeshore Drive. I have talked about taking 294 to 290.
Get off at Peterson and
coming
take
in
like
that way.
Lincoln. Take Lincoln.
Oh, but Lincoln's a mess. Your best,
like, there's
I'm
no good
you.
Way. Like,
you're best off probably
you get to
taking
Elson? From where you're at off the highway?
My grandfather's favorite, that was his alternate route, going Elston.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's any good either.
Here's a solution. Move.
Yeah, you're going to have to just get an apartment down here.
Yeah.
Your best bet's going to be Peterson to Lakeshore, I think. That's what, like, Peterson turns into Hollywood there, and then it spits you back out on a Lakeshore Drive.
Here's the
should
problem.
I drive to Skokie and take the red line and just take the CTA? You could do that.
You could drop me off right here? Do I have to worry at 6 o'clock getting on the red line platform?
Stop it.
I know. I rode the red line when I was 13 years old.
Of course.
But now you read the stuff.
What do you mean? Read what stuff?
He's giving us suburbia.
All right.
He's bringing suburbia
to
the combo.
I take the train every single day.
Read all the stuff on the platform.
Read the stuff. You're good. 6 a.m.
When you see that stuff about the red line,
you gotta look at the time.
Look at the time.
It's always at like
2
a.m.
You're on the train at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not one of those guys. Look, it was a pre-roll. Wherever I lived in the city, I will tell you this. Wherever I lived in the city for 20 years, and again, I went down and rode the L at 13 years old to Cubs games by myself. This isn't like I'm not some suburban kid who didn't know how to ride the CTA. Mm-hmm. Whenever I lived in the city, it was a prerequisite that I had to live by an L.
By an L
or subway.
Yeah, me too.
So
yeah.
My first,
yeah,
my like, anywhere, whether it was Division and LaSalle, I hopped on right there. Whether it was Canal and
Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Right there, I was off the blue line.
Yep.
And everywhere I've lived, I've always been off an L line so I can get around the city.
Yes.
Here in broad daylight.
You're taking it in rush hour, though.
It's the loop.
Yeah.
I know.
I used to ride the blue line at night. I'd do night shows.
We'd get off the air at 10.
I'd take the blue line and I'd take a roll of quarters. I always had them wrapped under my hand just in case.
You want a blade?
Roll of quarters.
Just in case.
Be vigilant. You're good to go.
Someone's taking that blade out of my hand and they're using it on me.
No blade. Yeah. I'll just take that from you.
I just want to get on the train and get home.
Here's my trip.
Then why don't you just take the Metro in and then just walk?
But this schedule sucks.
I don't get home till 7:30. Better off getting into my car at that time?
Late at night on the train, go to the first car. I think that's the best idea.
Because you're by the conductor.
Yeah, I mean, there's like people, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the thing that
used to be my move anyway, because the first car is always the less congested car.
Usually.
Or just, you know, dress up as Batman.
You never want the middle of the train.
Dress up as Batman. That would be the best if you just put on a Batman suit after work every day and you got on
vengeance.
But in the Batman movies, the vigilante Batman would always sort of get fought.
Sylvie walks up, I'm vengeance. Someone goes, wait, is that Sylvie?
Is that Sylvie?
No, I'm vengeance.
I'm vengeance.
Where is she?
Not Sylvie.
Rachel.
What do you think of Lonzo Ball on his knee?
Don't know what you're talking about. Not Sylvie.
I don't know. I'm not Sylvie.
Sylvie, what happened last week on the
stage? Cubs
have a chance
to win 80?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm Batman.
That's so great.
Just wear a Spider-Man costume. That way your whole face is covered.
Some poor lady's getting mugged and Sylvie's just like, yeah. Not my business.
Nope, not sorry. No, Spider-Man, quick, help. Nope, sorry.
Batman.
Not my business.
Well, I'm just here to talk about the Cubs.
I'm minding my own business. I am Sylvie.
I'm just a sports radio guy.
All this over road construction. I love it. Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. Hey, I dealt with it because I live in the west suburbs, and for a lot of years, as they were finishing up the stupid the stuff at the interchange, it was a nightmare. I mean, 290, the Eisenhower sucks anyway, but that, I mean, there was a period like in 19, probably pre-pandemic. It was better during the pandemic because nobody was coming downtown. Mm-hmm. But like 18 and 19 at the height of it, it was so miserable. There was not a time of day where there wasn't a backup to west of Cicero Avenue. And it, if it was noon, if it was, I mean, it didn't matter. If it was 11:30 at night, it didn't matter.
Weekends, doesn't matter.
In and out of the interchange, the coming in to the nearing the interchange, because the project was so bad for so long, it was
I'd say that
brutal.
That, the Kennedy, because I live off of the Kennedy, I would say at this point in the summer, without construction,
it's terrible.
There isn't a good time to go into the city or come out of the city to begin with.
We've experienced it going to Sox games last summer. You know, my kids love the Sox. We went to like 6 or 7 Sox games last year. It's the home of the White Sox. Like, we would go try and go around. We'd try and take 55 into the Sox game. And in the summer, you're right. On a Saturday or Sunday,
it's brutal.
There's no good ways to go into the city.
It's brutal. The traffic stinks. Just stinks.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because
all
I hear is that people want to move to the suburbs, and then all the traffic is here. It's like, I thought all the people are talking about how the city sucks. I thought you were leaving.
The city's still great. The
city's fantastic.
It is, of course.
What a great city. Can't wait for the traffic. Looking forward to it.
That's the only thing that sucks. Well, there's a few things. The weather sucks.
Take the train and see Sylvie dressed as Batman.
The casual crime.
The casual crime. Right, our teams aren't very good. There's some stuff
that stinks. The winters drag on forever.
But for the most part, it's a great
thing. I am sportsman.
I'm here to talk sports.
I'm sportsman. Coming up next, Lonzo Ball.
We are going to talk Lonzo. Is Wilbon coming on? Did he get back to you?
Yes, he got back.
Wilbon's bailed on yesterday. Twice.
Yesterday, Wilbon, he called me. He felt terrible. He was waiting for
a
call.
Yesterday.
He was. So he had to do a live segment on Wednesday. That's why he missed us. Then yesterday, he was waiting for our phone call. He was sitting in his Lazy Boy, and he fell asleep.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Yeah, that's...
Old man Wilbon falling asleep in his Lazy Boy.
That's our Wilbon.
I mean, can you picture... He's got the games on.
Yes.
He's in his Lazy Boy. Got his hand in his pants. There's Wilbon just sleeping.
Hey, man, that's the life.
Oh, yeah?
That's
well, you're Wilbon.
Hell yeah. You got a cool breeze of Scottsdale blowing in through the window.
Absolutely.
I don't care what you say. PTI is still my favorite show.
It is. It's still the best.
20 years later, it's still
There's
great.
There's no gimmicks. It's just the two of them.
It's
I love it.
I agree.
What else you guys got today?
That's it. We're talking football. We got Mike. We got North.
Here
got a bonus play. Basketball.
Yeah.
We're here till 3. See you, boys.
All right. We'll be listening.
Take it easy, guys.
Carmen
guys.
And Sylvie next.
Benjamin. Who's ready for some hockey this holiday weekend? The Wolves are looking to stay red hot in their green St. Paddy's Day themed jerseys with back-to-back games Saturday and Sunday at Allstate. So bring the whole family. Back-to-back Wolves games against Manitoba this Saturday night at 7. Then again, on Sunday afternoon, it's a family Sunday presented by Scott Credit Union. Puck drop is at 3. Get your Wolves tickets today. We are Chicago. We are going green. We are the Wolves.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurk, Sylvie's in for the good kid. We're going to be with you until 3, and then it's White Sox baseball. Tyler and Shay will be on after that. Odds couple tonight at 8. So tons of great local programming for you on this St. Patrick's Day.
Am I allowed to turn the light on in here?
Yes, please. I didn't when I came in. I like it on. You like it on, I like it off.
And then, but Yurko likes it off,
Yurko likes it off. I like the lights on.
Me too. I get bright.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
Sun's
the
out.
The light's
on. It's chilly again today. This is where this time of year starts to really stink, you know? It's like, feels colder a couple days this week than it did at any point in February. But
I like to say sun's out, moves out.
Moves
that's
out?
That's my theory these days.
All right. You want to take them out?
Even my wife said that to me. Boy, your pecs.
Really? Did she call them pecs or moves?
She didn't call them moves yesterday.
Right.
She knows better. I took my shirt off yesterday. It's in the laundry room. No, I was putting in the dirty clothes bin.
Right.
And she looked at me and she said, "You're packs."
What did you say?
She goes, "What have you been doing?" She goes, "Have you been doing these?"
Oh, so she's liking them. So she's...
And I'm like, the butterfly. Is that what that's called, that exercise?
A pec deck, yeah. Or fly.
What did you say? A pec deck. Oh, deck. Oh, no.
That's what we used to call it. I don't know the technical term. We used to call it the pec deck. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's so... No, I've just been doing more push-ups. I do three sets of 30 every day.
Good.
Almost every day.
That's all you need.
The days I work out.
All you need.
That's what I do.
Push-ups, pull-ups, and dips.
No, no dips. The dip is the worst.
But it's good for you.
I know, but the dip is bad.
You want to be able to see that nice little tricep right here.
Yeah, the triceps.
Show it off in the summer, everybody. That's a sexy one right there. Girls see that.
Dude, I'm 51. What am I showing off?
Looks at, what Yurko's got a term for it. I can't remember what he calls it. Oh, damn, what does he say? I can't remember, but he's got a term for... And he shows us old pictures of, like, his old playing cards when he was in somewhat of good shape. And he goes, yeah, look. What does he call it? I can't remember. And he loves showing off his tricep. His calves and his triceps.
His best features,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We're going to be with you all the way till 3. Wilbon will join us at 1. He's blowing you guys off back-to-back days. We'll see.
Like, let's put your bets down.
We'll see.
Will Wilbon be there at 1 o'clock?
We are going to keep you up to date on what's happening in the tournament. We'll have some fun with a few of the games yesterday. We'll rip the Big Ten a little, and we'll give them some props, though, because Penn State has looked very good here in recent weeks. Northwestern with a victory in deep against a pretty talented UCLA team coming up tomorrow. But we'll keep you abreast on everything that's happening with the tournament. The Lonzo Ball stuff. Bears continue to add and make moves. Sylvie's got Kennedy angst, and I'm not talking about like JFK or anything like that. Like, there's some serious Kennedy angst. And I think a lot of people probably heard the last segment when, yeah, we better brace for this. If you frequently need to traverse the Kennedy in and out of the city, it sounds like buckle up for a nightmare over the next 3 years. Which is no fun. So we have a lot. We're going to spread
all fields.
People
are going to graduate college in that time.
I'm telling you, it's going to be at least 5. We got a lot to do. If you want to join us, ring us up at 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
There might be some things we can do to maybe move around. This draft with the numbers that we counted right now, we got to get some of the physicals. There's a lot of work to be done still. But there's going to be good players in that range as well. So, as you know, I think from the first draft with me, you know, we did a lot of movement back, but maybe there's some movement back and then going the other way too.
It was Ryan Poles yesterday when he met the media. You heard it right here on your home for the Bears, ESPN Chicago. Sylvie's in for Yurk. We're going to be together until 3 today on this beautiful Friday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So far, I like hearing what Ryan Poles has to say. Like you always say, Sylvie, it doesn't really matter if you can't build a football team. I mean, I don't care if you're entertaining, if you're transparent, if you aren't, as long as you can build a winner. I mean, if you're good at your job and you build what we all want and expect, that's some sort of sustainable window. You can almost be any way you want to be to the media. That doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I do like listening to him, though. I think he's trying to be transparent, and I think he got a little bit out of that soundbite that maybe they will move up. They've got a long wait between 9 and 53. That's a long wait for a team that needs players, and maybe they do package something with all the picks they have in the next couple of years and move earlier into the second round.
It was like with the Cubs, Theo was transparent. And he was great.
Yes.
Joe Maddon was transparent, and he was great. You know what I mean? Like, it was Ryan Poles so far has been super transparent, super open. He tells you the way he does business. We think he's really good. Like, I tweeted out goofing. I was goofing around last night. Waddle and I got it from the Bears Super Bowl video. We've always chanted it, Super Bears Super Bowl, yeah. Super Bears Super Bowl. It's from the 85 Super Bowl video. Like, a couple super fans yelling that, going into the Soldier Field. Yesterday, I tweeted out Super Bears Super Poles. You know, I like what he's doing. I like that he's looking for value. He's got a plan. They're sticking with it. I love, like... I never understood this with any of our front offices, Carm. The Cubs were notorious for this for years. They used to have the smallest front office.
Yeah.
The Bulls forever. Yes. Mom, pop, front office. multi-billion-dollar businesses. The Bears forever, small shop. Ryan Poles is building it out. Building it out like a cap red today. I've got it. I wrote it down too about like this analytics department, the way they're building it out and the system that they have. None of the money that you put into building out your scouting staff, your analytics department, all this stuff goes against the cap.
Right.
Like these are all advantages you can take advantage, things you could take advantage of.
Those are expenses. Those are business expenses.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you can get an advantage on the rest of the league by doing it that way. Why would you ever cut corners on that sort of stuff? It makes no sense. So the point of it, in my world, if Ryan Poles drafts well, that's how we're going to judge Ryan Poles. Like, I like Tanyan. You're a little indifferent on it. What we're going to love about Ryan Poles or we're going to dislike about Ryan Poles is what he does with the 10 or 11 draft picks he has this year. Totally. What is he going to do at 9? What is he going to do with these second and third round picks? What is he going to do with those two first round picks next year? How is he going to build up this roster with foundational pieces through the draft? But so far, with what we can judge so far, you know, with free agency, with the trade, it looks good. It makes sense.
Well, I think his plan is good so far because you're right. He's found young guys mostly that are getting into that second contract. You should have the guys certainly that they spent most on are guys that are entering their prime, getting that second contract. They're mostly young. They're age 27 or 28 or younger. That's all good. That was obviously part of his plan. I like what he's done with the running back room. Love David Montgomery, but you know, you wish him well. And it's easily replaceable. And I like how the players they brought in to replace him.
Modern football, right? Like you and Yurko have yelled it from the mountaintops.
For more than a decade. 100% the right way to do it. Not committing too many dollars to that. They'll probably still even address it in the draft. But they did last year. They've got Herbert. Like, they're more than good there. Tanyan's fine. I have a feeling Rodgers made him a little bit better than he probably is. That's what I think.
Well, look at what the analytics say. Well, first of all, a couple years ago before the knee injury.
But before the knee injury, he was really good.
He hurt his knee in 2021. We know what it is about the knee. The first year, you're never really as good. Towards the end of the year, he started to regain it in 2022, caught over 50 balls. The analytics say he was one of the best in the tight end position group as far as catch percentage.
Yes.
We know Aaron Rodgers wasn't his best last year as far as his accuracy. Robert Tonyan in all tight ends had one of the best catch percentages in the entire position group. When you're coming at it now with Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan, two guys who have over 50 catches, that's good depth there, isn't
it? Good depth.
Two professional pass catchers and a second tight end with really, really good hands. What's wrong with that? That's better than their second tight end last year.
100%. It is. There's no doubt
about
that.
And on a one-year cost-effective deal.
That's why it's good. On a one-year deal, it is good. At some point, I want them to find a more explosive downfield threat at that position. But okay, you can't get greedy and you can't expect everything in one offseason, or you can't expect every single thing they do to be an absolute.
Ryan Pace would have paid $10 million for Robert Tonyan and give him a three-year deal. You know
and
what I mean?
He would have paid David Montgomery.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, this is a one-year deal that's low cost as a depth move on a guy who is produced. And
that's great.
Like, and he wants to be here, another local kid who is good at what he does. He's got good hands. Fields can use a guy. Fields
can use
the one
a guy
that,
with some good hands.
Yeah, he can use a guy who makes him better. That's what we need. We need a guy who makes Justin better.
They added two guys that I think are pretty sure-handed, actually, in the trade and then acquiring Tonyan. And that should be good for Justin Fields. The one, I don't even know if it's a criticism. I mean, maybe it is a little bit. I guess that's what it is. I still don't understand why they were not more in on Draymond Jones, considering the term and the money. That one's a little surprising because it feels like you have a lot to do on your defensive line. And are you doing that all in the draft? Does the move back to 9 more put them in a spot for an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman with their first pick? And like, when do they address pass rush? They really haven't done that. I know the kid from Tennessee, but he had a career year. That's probably more of a situational type of pass rusher.
They're going to move him inside a little bit, too.
Like, where you really haven't addressed one of your biggest weaknesses last year. You could argue, and it might not be a popular argument, but speaking of the analytics would clearly tell you their D-line was a lot worse than their O-line. And I mean a lot worse. And they really haven't done anything to fix that. That, to me, that's the only thing that has been surprising. Sure. But there's a lot of offseason left. You have a draft. You have picks.
It's
you have
fair.
Flexibility.
It's
that's
fair.
My big criticism.
It reminds me a bit, and I don't want to bring him down, because I just tweeted out Super Bear, Super Pulse. But it's like, it's the so obvious move, and there's still offseason to go. There's still free agents out there. There's lots of draft picks he can get and can be good. Like you said, you've said, and you've prefaced everything, or at least towards the end, you've always said there's months to go.
Yeah.
But it's like with AK, where we knew, what was the obvious thing going into last offseason? Shooting, right?
Yes, they needed shooting.
Like that
and
Milwaukee
series. They knew they were getting Lonzo back.
Right. They knew, and we're like, okay, the one thing this team doesn't do, especially when your best player doesn't shoot threes. Yeah, he's great from two. Not only were you not good enough from three, but your best player doesn't take or make threes.
And your best three-point shooter was having another surgery.
Right. And so you need to extend the floor, and you need to, like, when he dishes, when all these guys, when you spread the floor, and all these open threes against Milwaukee, nobody was able to make it. Vooch is coming off a historically bad year from three. And we're like, AK, you got to go out and get three-point shooters. And what did AK do? He didn't address it. And you're like, well, that's obvious. So I just... It's fair when it's an obvious need to go get someone who can sack the quarterback. There's still lots to go, but it's fair to bring up. I don't want to bury my head in the sand.
So how do you feel about Poles to this point, things that he's done well, or maybe some of the early misses, if there are any for you, or any of the criticisms? 312-332-3776. We'll talk about the latest with Lonzo. I mean, that second surgery was back going into the season. Now there's a third surgery. And it really does leave you wondering, and I think people in the NBA are wondering this, if Lonzo's ever going to be able to play again. And that's awful to say. I mean, he's like 25, who has really worked hard over the years to turn himself into a very good and useful basketball player, not just a defensive guy that can push the floor, push the pace, but a very good offensive player. The way he's improved his three-point shot has been miraculous to me. Just think if Ben Simmons worked as hard. It sucks for Lonzo. I mean, it really does. We'll talk about it with Wilbon afterwards.
And then here's a question for you, too, on that topic. Knowing that he's going to miss another year, is it just time to cut bait? And I don't know what the exact rules are, but the insurance claim.
Do you buy it out and just take the insurance? Is that it?
That's my question for you. Man, and we have to do some homework on that.
Yeah.
Like what Nick Friedell always used to say, that's a question for Larry Kuhn, right? Then he goes, Carl, that's a good question for Larry Kuhn.
I was saying that like in 05. Just ask Larry Kuhn. That's a good question for someone.
Bobby Marks.
That's a question
for Bobby
Marks. Do you
have Bobby Marks' number to text?
You know what? I do not, but we can probably get it quickly.
Probably has it.
Yeah, we can ask somebody to text Bobby that and figure that out. 312-332-3776. Carmen and Yurko. Sylvie's in for Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Billy and I are going to be on till 3, then it's White Sox baseball. We have two pairs of tickets to give away for next Friday's 25th anniversary celebration at House of Blues. We'll give away a pair here, and then at some point during the 2 o'clock hour, when it's the Waddle and Sylvie portion of the day, we'll give away another pair. Not many chances left to win these tickets. Obviously, a week from today, must be 21 to win. Give me the party of the year. Celebrating 25 great years. Here's your trivia question. And if you were listening to spring trading, was it maybe last week, not this week's, when you were with Hoodie, you guys were even talking about this.
Yeah, I gave this away.
You told the story. You gave it away. But back in 2003, when Sylvie and I were on at nights during the week together, the night of Jay Williams' fateful motorcycle accident, which unfortunately ended Jay's career, we had on a Bulls guest that night that we broke the news to. Who was that guest? First correct caller wins the tickets. You must be 21. 312-332-3776.
And we broke it to him off the air.
We did.
You did.
I called, or he was calling in to come on, and I said, hey, we just got a tip. You told the story nicely. last week.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes. And someone called and gave us a tip and said Jay Williams was in a very bad motorcycle accident and he's going into surgery. And they're fearful that he's going to lose his leg. And we were like, what? This, you know,
you never know.
You never know. And so I had talked to this person then as he was calling in. And the person was like, no, not RJ. That's not RJ Williams. And 30 minutes later, he was calling the studio back asking to talk to us. What exactly did you guys hear?
Yeah.
It was pretty wild. And Casey Johnson just wrote about it because of the Lonzo Ball stuff. Casey said they're sort of cursed here, going back to Jay,
God, yeah.
Which made them pivot. Remember, that was a week before the draft. They weren't drafting Kirk Heinrich. They believed in Jay Williams. Jay finished that season strong, if you remember, in March of that year.
They should have drafted Kirk Heinrich to begin with.
All right,
they should have gotten Dwayne Wade.
Well, that's true.
Danielle Marshall.
You're 100% right about that. They were believing in Jay. Jay, in March of that year, had a triple-double against Jason Kidd in the Nets.
Yeah.
Like, they were believing in Jay, and they pivoted because he had gotten hurt. They drafted Kirk. You're right. They should have traded Danielle and trusted their gut and taken Dwayne Wade.
They identified Dwayne Wade coming out of Marquette. He had one of the best runs in NCAA history. He had a triple-double, I think, to get Marquette into the Final Four.
Against Kentucky, I believe,
yeah,
right?
It was so good.
He did.
And they identified him as being the guy. But, again, they had a trade on the table with Toronto. Is
correct.
That? But Toronto wanted Danielle Marshall and the pick. Can't get rid of Danielle. He's too important to what we do. He's a veteran presence. And this is when I, as a young host, when I forever said hooey to the veteran presence in the locker room, I get that there's some value to it, but not above talent.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose properly, I guess.
Like,
right.
You know, we're saving, Robin Lopez. We can't get rid of Robin Lopez to tank. We can't get rid of Justin Holiday. We need them to steer the ship with our young players. What do you mean?
That's crazy.
It's so dumb. We must keep Danielle Marshall in the locker room here because... And that is what prevented the Chicago Bulls
From leaping Miami
to get Dwayne Wade.
Correct.
And that's what separates John Paxson from an executive and Pat Riley is an executive.
Yeah, Riley's like the best ever, so it's a tough comp. But you're right. You're not wrong. Riley's better than anybody. You're right about that. I don't know if AK and this crew is any better. That's the scary thing.
No, they're not.
They're
not any better.
I mean, as bad as like the previous regime's selection of Wendell Carter over SGA was, this Williams Halliburton thing. And I want to still believe in Patrick Williams, but you watch Halliburton right now for a team that at the time needed a point guard. You're like, that looks like it's going to be an all timer, Sylvie.
There's
I'm holding on some hope for P. Will, but it looks like an all-timer, buddy.
Well, that and Vooch are two all-timers for these two guys.
It's not good. It's not a good look right now. Luke's in LaGrange. Luke, who was that guest that we had on?
That'd be John Paxson, Carl.
It was. That's the one and only John Paxson. Can you make it next Friday?
Absolutely. I'll be here.
We'll see you there, pal. Make sure you sit tight, and the guys have all your info, and we'll figure out how to get you on the list and whatnot.
We've had many good times with Pax.
I love Pax.
Pax hates me now, but I can't not express how I feel with my opinions.
I know.
Remember when we went up to the Birdo Center? And it was the... Ben Gordon, Luol Deng draft.
Yep.
And we were lucky enough. He let us into his office and he let us watch tape with him.
Yep.
They were considering drafting Deng and they were considering drafting Gordon. They ended up swinging a trade, where they swung a trade with Phoenix and they got Deng too.
Correct.
And I was very pro-Gordon. You know me. I've always been pro-Gordon.
Oh, yes.
And Pax looked at me and he put in the Deng tape. And he said, watch this kid play at Duke. His motor never stops. Up and down the floor. Up and down. Up and down. He never stops on defense. Never stops on offense. Never stops running the floor.
They love
this
him.
Is the type of guy that we need on this team. But like that access, like,
It was great.
It was incredible.
I think a couple of years after that, that had stopped. There was no more of that. I think we ripped him too many times. I love Pax. No, he was very good to me on the way up, and I appreciate that.
I love him as a player, and he did a lot of great things.
He did. He inherited a bad roster, and at least he made them somewhat relevant. But they could never, you know, you described it. Like, they had a tendency to sort of fall in love with their assets a little bit too much. You used to always say they sit on their assets. They did. They kind of had a tendency to love their guys a little bit too much.
Over love. The veteran guys.
You know.
It was always with Danielle Marshall. It was Anthony.
Antonio Davis.
Oh, we got to have Antonio Davis around. Eddie Curry.
But it was all of it. It was, and I love Joe, and I know the city loves Joe. Like, they could have potentially flipped Joe for Carmelo. You can't tell me they wouldn't have been better with Carmelo in his prime.
Joe's damn good,
you
though.
You can't tell. I know, but, I mean, come on.
They still should have gotten Carmelo.
You know who's not afraid to make those kinds of deals? Sam Presti is not afraid to make those types of deals. Pat Riley is not afraid to make those types of deals. And those are the guys who are the best of the best. That's what you can't be afraid of. We'll grab calls. We'll talk Bulls, Bears. I do want to get into Lonzo stuff. Sylvie's got a good question, and he was discussing it yesterday with PB about this Jalen Carter stuff from this week. I do want to get into that with you after 1 o'clock.
It's time to put your money down. Will Wilbon be on the line in 2 short minutes?
We're going to find out next.